from external, we should, with great respect to all, without exception. No matter their good image, bad image, the respect need to be there without exception. But to praise something, that has to be, what's the praise? Has to be the proper Dhamma, the pure heart, pure mind, and good Dhamma. In the example of Santai visiting 53 teachers, as described in the Flower Dome Sutra, he compliment 50 great teachers, except three. Those three were Sunda Brahman, who symbolized stupidity or ignorance. And the second one is Nectar Fire King, who symbolized anger. Because if he gets mad, he will punish people. And the third one is a prostitute by the name of Midor Fadon, who symbolized craving desire. So when Santai visited all three of this special type of person, individually representing craving desire, anger, and stupidity, Santai approached to them with great respect, as if his same respect to Buddhas, but without compliment, without praise. Only those who has pure hearts can truly help sentient beings, can help sentient beings worth the compliment or praise. Therefore, in our daily life today, when we see other religion, decent ones, such as Catholic, their teaching can help beings to be born into the heavens. We have respect and compliment to them. But for the evil paths, we should also have respect, but no compliment. Tonight, and because the subject did not finish, yesterday we have discussed the first two vows of the 10 great vows of the Universal Goodness Bodhisattva, Mahasattva. The first two are, number one, respect all Buddhas. Number two, praise the Tathagata. And number three, which we're going to discuss this morning, is cultivate universal offerings. The characteristics of universal goodness Bodhisattva's practice is its content is infinite and its attitude is infinite. So in this universal offering, number three item of universal goodness for Bodhisattva's practice is also infinite. Infinite in offering all beings, including non-beings. For the beings which have feeling, called the sentient beings, that means all the regular beings become who are not yet enlightened, and all the beings who are already enlightened, and even non-beings are all covered in this universal offering practice. Because to offer to one is actually to offer to all. That is because the realization of enlightenment is so complete, and the mind is so huge and vast, it covers all the space in the whole universe. Therefore, the application of this complete emptiness nature becomes vast and has no limitation. There are some Bodhisattvas who too has had a enlightenment and sees the empty nature, but that was not complete. Therefore, in the application of the emptiness mind, is not so vast and so inconceivable as universal goodness Bodhisattva has demonstrated. Because fundamentally, The reason for this vast offering without limitation is because one is all. All is in one, and there is no difference between. And that is the highest spiritual level described in the Flower Adorn Sutra. In the universal offering practice, number third great vow of the universal goodness Bodhisattva, and the highest offering amount of Dhamma offering is the among all the offering, universal offerings, the best one, the highest one is Dhamma offering, because the Dhamma offering can help sentient beings cut off confusion, delude thinking completely, and obtain original perfect wisdom. Other offerings has their own merits, but cannot be compared with the Dhamma offering. Among Dhamma offerings, the best of the Dhamma offering in practice is to follow the instruction and do practice carefully according to the instruction. That is the best among the Dhamma offering. That's why we have discussed a few nights ago that one must obey the instruction from one's teacher and put into practice without deviation. Then one can eventually obtain the thorough and complete realization of one's own nature. In the Shui Tang Dynasty, about 500 or 600, 700 AD period of time in the Chinese history, all those great monks and masters in Japan, in Korea, and in China, they all agree that in 49 years of teaching by Buddha Sakyamuni, the highest level of sutra is Flower Adorn Sutra, because that one is the most thorough and most complete and perfect, and is describing the spiritual state and level of Buddhas. But there are also other masters nowadays realize that comparing with the Flower Adorn Sutra, the Infinite Life Sutra is even higher. It is the essence of the greatest thing. Generally speaking, in the Mahayana Buddhism, the Flower Adorn Sutra and the Wonderful Lotus Flower Sutra are the sutra belong to the great Buddha's level and not to average people. And definitely, it's at the highest level of teaching. But these greatest sutra are actually providing introduction or leading to the practitioner to be involved with even higher sutra, that is the Infinite Life Sutra. Therefore, the Infinite Life Sutra is the number one among number ones. When I read this one, read the statement, I feel very happy. As a matter of fact, the reason in my Pure Land School teaching and practice to be able to realize this fact was due to 17 years of teaching of the Flower Adorn Sutra. Even today, I'm still teaching without stop. And in reading and teaching this Flower Adorn Sutra, at the last of the sutra, it described that universal goodness Bodhisattva Mahasattva, utilizing the 10 great vows, provide to the sentient beings as guidance in order to have sentient beings to be born into Buddha Amitabha's pure land of the ultimate bliss. So the Infinite Sutra, which directly describes pure land of Amitabha Buddha, is the final resting place for our spiritual life. In the 1900s, a famous and old layperson, a Chinese layperson, his name is Xia Linji, he compiled all the translations in history of Chinese Mahayana for Infinite Life Sutra, and compile them to make one complete, you may say, new version of the Infinite Life Sutra. This is actually a great blessing of sentient beings, human beings in the modern time, because this person is not average people. It's high-level Bodhisattva come back to the suffering world to save sentient beings by making such a great contribution. And not average people can have the capability to compile all the translations of the Infinite Life Sutra and make such a great complete version. Out of gratitude, I reproduce his picture and enlarge his hand over there. As you can see, that's his picture. It's been printed many times. The original picture shows very clearly. If you look carefully, behind his head, there's a picture of Buddha. The light was behind it. If you look also carefully, around his feet area, there's a bright light coming out, something like a lotus flower. But due to numerous times of reprinting, it becomes not that clear. But if you pay close attention, you can still see that. That translation, the new version of Infinite Sutra, Infinite Life Sutra, provides the best material for people who can concentrate and reach achievement in just one lifetime. That is a blessing for those who have the opportunity to determine what to practice and be successful in one lifetime. Therefore, we are grateful to this great master's compilation work. In the Tang Dynasty, also according to the Mahayana tradition and record, the great Pure Land School teacher called San Dao, Master San Dao, it is believed that he is a manifestation of Amitabha in the physical form and came to the human world. He said, the Infinite Life Sutra is the sutra that all Buddhas in all universe try to circulate and help people, and that will make Buddha real happy, to bring people directly into the level of Buddha themselves. If we do not have time to study the whole sutra of Infinite Life Sutra, then what is the essence of the sutra that we must not ignore? It is chapter number 6, which is the essence of the essence. That is basically describe Amitabha Buddha's 48 vows in chapter 6. And this whole sutra was originally taught by Buddha Sakyamuni. And if you read carefully and cross-reference between the form from the beginning to the end, you're going to find the whole sutra, every single word, every single statement, are not deviate from the spirit of the 48 vows as described in chapter number 6. That also tells us Buddha Dhamma are provided according to the truth, not by individual. No matter who is to provide a teaching, must follow the truth. So from this point, we can see Buddha Sakyamuni did a good job, excellent job. The whole sutra itself are totally in agreement with chapter number 6, which was Amitabha's 48 vows. And if you want to further find out what is the essence of the essence of the essence of the 48 vows, it is vow number 18, which says, in chanting Buddha name or thinking of Buddha Amitabha for just 10 times, or even one time, one can be born into Pure Land without suffering anymore. This is the inconceivable part, or most mystical part, or maybe even confusing part of the Pure Land school when compared with other school. This is inconceivable. In my early time studying Buddha Dhamma, I have some doubts in my mind. If a person going to be born, fall into hell at the last few seconds of his life or her life? Can Buddha or will Buddha have the capability and great compassion to save the beings, not only for avoiding or avoid falling into the hell, instead become enlightened into Buddha land? When I read the 48 great vows, particularly the vow number 18, I suddenly realize that Buddha's compassion and supernatural power and capability is infinite. And it is truly that we can praise Buddha has infinite merits and infinite capability and wisdom. However, will such a person be saved? It is up to his faith. It is up to his receiving of Buddha's blessing. If he has great faith, instead of falling to hell, he can be received and into the Buddha land, enjoy the same thing as Buddha enjoyed. As we have mentioned last night, the example, the Chinese monk who chanted only Namo Amitabha for 3 years and finally passed away by standing with chanting beads in his hand, not like even lying down, and was able to be born into Pure Land at a very high position, in a very high position. This is a concrete evidence of one single practice. In the simple chanting of Namo Amitabha, one can get out of the samsara forever. And this successful example also shows it is due to that person's great karmic connection and root in deep belief of this inconceivable method and the power of Amitabha. Amitabha is the name, holy name of Buddha Amitabha. However, it contains infinite and numerous meaning. The interpretation and explanation of Amitabha is described in the Infinite Life Sutra. So the Infinite Life Sutra is the interpretation of the holy name. And then the Flower Adorn Sutra, with tremendous volume and content, it served as, in turn, interpretation of the Infinite Life Sutra. And then, in turn, the whole Buddha Dhamma provides interpretation for the Flower Adorn Sutra. So you know their relationship. One is essence and essence of the other, and the other is the complete detail of the essence. This Amitabha Buddha, the holy name, it covers the whole universe and all times, the past, present, and future. In Qing Dynasty, a great master called Si Yun, Ba Si, in his book about direct pointing and of the observing the Infinite Life Sutra, he said, for one has serious, very serious sin, that sutra chanting, mantra practice, and repentance ceremony cannot remove that heavy sin. The single holy name of Amitabha can do the job. However, human beings do not realize the power of such simple holy name. Therefore, at a time of illness, one tends to chant Medicine Buddha. At a time of disaster, one chants Guan Yin Bodhisattva or Avalokiteshvara. They did not know the holy name of Amitabha. Its power suppresses all sutra, all mantras, and all repentance ceremonies. Now, why Buddha does not describe directly to point out the best to us, and instead giving us so many other methods? It is because we do not believe. Therefore, without choice, Buddha has to provide other things, may not be the best, but still very good, that we will receive and accept. In the Chinese Antique Museum in Taiwan, collecting all kinds of antiques of the nation. Do you know what is the best antique, the most valuable one? It is a rotten looking cotton product, copper product of the Song Dynasty, which is before, I think, in the BC time period. But people just enjoy those transparent, beautiful jade products made in the Qing or Ming Dynasty. That's because people do not realize the true value. They will think the ancient copper product is just a piece of rotten metal. They did not realize the value. Likewise, people do not realize the supreme value of the holy name of Amitabha. Therefore, just have to wait until the proper time comes, people wake up, the proper belief comes, then the best thing can be realized. And now the time has come to cultivate solely and promote solely Amitabha name. For that, I have distribute and circulate several million volumes of the Infinite Life Sutra around the world. And there are many Buddhist friends enjoy such book and do the reading on a daily basis. That makes me so happy, and I forgot all the traveling hardships, because I enjoy doing this when people truly realize the value of this teaching and its practice. So in discuss the third great vow of universal goodness bodhisattvas, namely universal offering. How to achieve the universal offering to a complete and perfect state? Simply practicing and promoting this Amitabha. Buddhas and bodhisattvas has infinite methods and skillful means to help sentient beings, and ultimately still direct sentient beings return to the pure lane and meet Amitabha Buddha. Let's take this following case and analyze. The founder of the Vajrayana Buddhism is Nongshu Fusa. When he opened up the Iron Tower, he met Vajrasattva, who is the manifestation of Vajrapani. And Vajrapani is the manifestation of universal goodness, Bodhisattva Mahasattva. And this this one has described earlier, want to use to teach sentient beings utilizing the 10 great vows to be born into the pure lane. So eventually, they disclosed the ultimate intention to introduce sentient beings, expose sentient beings, and mature sentient beings to eventually return to the Amitabha's place. Another great famous Bodhisattva called Zhunti, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, who is actually manifestation of Guanyin or Avalokiteshvara. And Guanyin is the assistant to Amitabha in the Pure Land. So, for sentient beings, average people, we have discrimination mind of esoteric teaching versus apparent teaching, Vajrayana Buddhism versus other type of Buddhism. But in the eye of Buddha and Bodhisattva, there are no such discrimination or differences. It's like traveling a different path, but eventually return to the same place. And eventually return to home, and you find Amitabha is waiting for you at home. So the methods can be different, but the ultimate goal is always the same. The fourth vow of the Universal Goodness Bodhisattva is through repentance to remove karmic obstacles. In every single thought generated from our mind, we are creating karma. And karmic obstacles will block our original Buddha nature. And therefore, the wisdom, original wisdom, virtues, and supreme powers of the Buddha nature cannot reveal themselves. The karmical obstacles are basically two types. The obstacle of vexation, the obstacle of knowledge. Let's examine ourselves. Are we constantly in a state without vexation or without preoccupied concept or knowledge? Are we free from those? Buddha Sakyamuni pointed out directly as a doctor diagnosing the problem of the illness of the sentient beings. That is that all sentient beings are originally enlightened as Buddha. Due to wandering thoughts and attachment, the original Buddha nature of Buddhahood cannot be obtained. The wandering thought, which is the root of obstacle of knowledge. One thought, one knows something. That becomes a preoccupied perception. That is basically wandering thoughts. And attachment basically is the root of vexation. In the practice of Dharma, one needs to break through these two obstacles and see one's own Buddha nature. And therefore, repentance becomes the key, the river point of practice to remove effectively the karmical obstacles. If karmical obstacles still not removed, then spiritual achievement cannot be attained. Therefore, all teachings and all practices and all methods are basically dealing with how to remove karmical obstacles. If a person have created such a heavy sin, is bound to be fall into the hell at the last few seconds or moments. If she can quickly repent what she has done wrong and generate great vows to be born into Buddha land and chanting Buddha name. Just by chanting the simple Namo Amitabha, the heavy sins quickly dispersed. And that's why the Qing Dynasty Great Master Shi Yun said that the Buddha name is so supreme that it can remove the heaviest sin that the other method may not be able to remove. A couple of years ago, there's a Vajrayana practitioner, very, very famous in the Chinese Buddhist community. He said, if one carries karmic obstacles, one cannot be born into the pure land. Only through removing the karma, then one can be born into the pure land. That caused panic among the Buddhists in Taiwan as well as in the United States. So several years ago, when I traveled to California, a famous layperson, Zhou Xuande, he asked me at the airport, if that's the case, we cannot totally remove our karmic obstacles accumulated since time without beginning, then chanting Buddha name will not bring us into the pure land. What is all about? What is the real truth? I answered him, if that's the case, we cannot remove all the karmic obstacles, we cannot be born into pure land, then might as well don't go. Because if that's the truth, then in the Pure Land, only Amitabha will be able to, capable to stay there. Because even the second highest beings in the Pure Land, the Guanyin Bodhisattva, still have one last subtle piece of ignorance, not totally removed. That's why it's called Bodhisattva, Mahasattva. And that you read, I ask him, the sutras teaching about there are four spiritual levels and nine different levels of beings be born into the Pure Land, into different categories or levels. Do you recognize that? He said, yes, it was well described in the sutra. I said, that is the evidence. If we do have karmical obstacles of different level, then when we born into the Pure Land, will be different spiritual level and spiritual achievement corresponding to our karmical, the level of our karmical obstacles. If you have more karmical obstacles, then you will be born into a little, relatively low level in the Pure Land. If you have less karmical obstacles, then you'll be born into a higher level. And when you completely remove the karmical obstacles,